Hallelujah. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you according to the knowledge of the Father and of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is 2 Peter. We'll read that scripture later. When you look at Paul's letters, he would write grace and peace unto you. Grace and peace unto you. Grace and peace unto you. That was his declaration. Now, when you look at the word, then you realize that we have already been given grace. We have already been given peace. But they can be multiplied through the knowledge of the Father and of Jesus Christ. So that is why then we speak the word grace, peace, blessed. We are declaring it. And as we declare it, we know that as people hear the word of God, what happens is faith rises in their hearts. That's what the book of Galatians chapter 3 says. It says, by the hearing of faith, we have received the miracles as well as the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've received them by the hearing of faith, not by keeping standards of the law. We do not perform for us to access what God has given to us. But by hearing of faith, we access what God has for us. That is what God is putting deep in my heart. That understanding that we do not perform to receive from God. But by the hearing of faith, there is a huge difference. One says, for you to see God doing things in your life, you must do these things. You list them. You list them starting from the Ten Commandments and all the other things that go with the performance that they had to do for them to see God moving in their lives. That was one way. The second way, it says, by the hearing of faith. In the book of Corinthians, the word says, it pleased God to save those who hear the preaching of the word. It pleased him to save those who received the preaching of the word. So the hearing of the word is important. The word says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing the word of God. We have been given the faith. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it says, we have been given the measure of faith. All of us, we have exactly the same measure of faith. Then Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, the word says, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. The life now that we live by the faith of Jesus Christ. So the faith that we use to live, it is not our faith. It is the faith of Jesus Christ that he gave to us. So we cannot doubt the faith of Jesus Christ. So that faith which is already inside us, because we've been given the measure of faith, all of us, it's already inside us. When we hear the preaching of the word, that faith which is already inside us, it gets stirred up. It gets stirred up. And by the hearing of faith, then we receive miracles and the Holy Spirit. Everything that we require, we receive them by the hearing of faith. So all the other things that we do, they are there just to help us, for us to be able to focus our minds, and as we focus our souls, then we find that the word of God, then it springs forth easily from our hearts. That is how God works. So it is critical that we know that our deliverance does not come from doing. Our deliverance comes from hearing. Hearing and hearing. And that is what we are busy with. Last week we started with a series entitled, We Are Complete in Him. We are complete in Him. And we spoke about our completeness in Him. And we said we stand before God complete. And it's not because of what we have done, but it is because of what Christ has done for us. And we started going through the book of Colossians. And we said this will be our base. Every time as we go through this series of understanding that we are complete in Christ, we will go through this scripture because this is our basis. This is where we start from. Colossians chapter 2, we'll be reading from verse 6 up to verse 10. The Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And we said last week, this verse is saying the way that we received Christ. How did we receive Christ? We received Christ by faith. So let us walk in Him by faith, not by works. It is by faith. And then we said, verse 7 keeps on telling us the story. It says, now, being rooted and built up in Him. It means that we are not supposed to be rooted and built up in the works of the law, but being rooted and built up in what He has completed and established in the faith, not in the law, in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. That's the mark of being in the faith. We abound in thanksgiving because we know that the work has been finished already. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you. This is yours already. It is yours already. But if you are not careful, somebody may cheat you. And how can they cheat you? It says they can cheat you through philosophy, a way of thinking. They can cheat you by empty deceit. They can cheat you according to the tradition of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So in other words, people come to you and they present what? All these other things that they can present and not Christ. So if we sit and we listen to things, messages that are not based on Christ, that are not based on the finished work of Christ, it doesn't matter whether in the past those messages were preached before Jesus Christ came. It does not matter. After Jesus Christ came, things changed. So now every message now should be based on Christ. On the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we don't listen to anything that does not involve Christ. It may be in the Bible. Yes, for the time when it was written, it was applicable. When Christ came, after His death and resurrection, He changed things. So we will not follow traditions of men, but we will follow the word of God after Jesus Christ came, died, and was taken up to heaven. Verse 9, it says, for in Christ, in Him, dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is why in the book of John, the Father tells us that if you do not honor the Son the way that you honor the Father, you do not honor the Father. You cannot say you honor the Father and you do not honor the Son. No. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Lord gave him the power to rule. So he is the one that is in charge now. If there were great men that came before Christ, they came to serve their purpose. But when Christ came, things changed. And all the Godhead was in Christ. And then the Father said, honor him as you honor me. When Jesus Christ was transfigured on the mountain with some of his disciples, the Bible says Elijah and Moses appeared. And when they appeared, and the glory of God was there, and the disciples saw this, and Peter spoke out, and he said, Lord, wouldn't it be good if we build three tabernacles here on this mountain? Your tabernacle, the one for Moses, and the one for Elijah. And Peter was not answered by Jesus, but Peter was answered by God himself. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when they opened their eyes, Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, representing the prophet, were gone. And only Jesus Christ remained. So, there is no gospel that should be preached outside Jesus Christ. Elijah may have preached it. Moses may have preached it. But that does not stand. God said with his voice, he said, this is my Son. Hear him. The others have served their purpose and they are gone. Praise be to God. This is powerful. And verse 10 says, and you are complete in him. Who is this? It's the Christ in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him you are complete. And it says, who is the head of all principality and power? He is the head. There is nobody higher than him. You cannot call Jesus Christ another prophet. You cannot. You cannot. The Bible is clear. There is nobody else like him. There is nobody else higher than him. In him, we find our completeness. Our completeness before God. So before God, we are 100% complete. 100% complete. Picture that. Picture that. You lack nothing before God. Nothing. When God looks at you, he does not say, you still need this and that. No, no, no. He looks at you through the eyes of Christ, who completed all the work for you. Praise the Lord. And when we read Romans chapter 5, verse 17, this verse tells us the importance of us understanding our completeness in Christ. I'm reading it from the Amplified Bible. The Bible says, for if because of one man's trespass, lapse, or offense, death reigned. Death came to reign on earth because of one man's sin. Trespass. One man. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace. Overflowing. So if you think I just need so much, God's grace is overflowing. What do we mean when we talk of God's grace? We mean His unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor overflows. It says, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, His unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness. And what do you mean by righteousness? We mean putting them into the right standing with Himself. God has put us in the right standing with Himself. If we receive then this overflowing grace, and we receive this righteousness, the free gift of righteousness. We have done nothing to be said to be right. The free gift of righteousness. The Bible says, they will reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We will reign in life as kings. And we know where the word of the king is, there is power. So we will have authority when we receive the free gift of righteousness as well as the abounding, overflowing grace of God. We will reign in life as kings. Not by doing things to be made righteous. Not by doing things to earn the favor of God. No. And it says, we will reign through one man. Who is that man? Jesus Christ. Because He obtained our right standing before God. It is not by doing the works of the Lord. Now, for us to understand our completeness, we need then to go to the epistles that were written after Christ was gone. Then we will understand our completeness in Christ. And the one beautiful book that tells us about what we have in Christ already is the book of Ephesians. We've got many other books, but with this series, we want to go through the book of Ephesians. Actually, the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, just for us to understand our completeness in Christ. What has He availed to us? That is what we want to know. Now, when we read Ephesians 1 to 3, we find out that everything has been done already and it is complete in Christ. It is not that it will be done. It is done already. That is what we'll see as we go through these chapters, chapter 1 up to chapter 3. So, a true understanding of Christianity does not begin by doing, but it begins with what has been done. This is important to note. It is not beginning with doing, but it begins with what has been done. So it's looking at what has been done already. So we are invited then to sit down and enjoy all that God has done for us in Christ. We are to rest in Him. We want healing. It is done. We want provisions. It is done. We want deliverance. It is done. That is where we start from. And we are called to rest in Him. Now, it's only from this revelation that true works of faith spring. Otherwise, practical Christianity can turn to works of the law. And we know that's a danger which Paul warned us. He said we must be careful that we do not fall into this danger of trying to walk by the works of the law. And the first part where we find him warning us is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Can you see? The law is what? Enmity. And he abolished it where? In his body. So the law was not removed just because God felt like I feel for my people. But the law was satisfied in the flesh of Jesus Christ, in the body of Jesus Christ. So God abolished the law so as to create in himself one new man from the two. In other words, from the Gentiles and the Jews. God has created now a one new man in Christ. It doesn't matter whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. In Christ, we are one man. So Christianity, actually then, it is not what Judaism plus Christ. That is how some people are living today. They live like it's Judaism plus Christ. Then that is equal to Christianity. No. God created a new man in Christ to allow both the Jews and the Gentiles to come into this one man. And before God, we are completely new. So our standards as the Gentiles and their standards as the Jews fall by the wayside. And now in Christ, we are accepted. Why? Because as it says in the beginning, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So the laws of the Jews were abolished in the body of Christ. So don't follow their ceremonies. Don't try to live up to their standards. Don't. You are complete in Christ. And we must remember that when Christ walked here on earth, he said, I have been sent to the Jews. So the messages that Jesus Christ preached while he was here on earth, which he preached to the Jews, they were based on the law. He was expounding on the law. When he was gone, when he created this new man, those laws were fulfilled in his death. So we need, when we read his words that he spoke to the Jewish people, we need to read them through the cross. In other words, understand that it was before the cross. So now, then let's see what does it mean now that the cross has happened. We must not confuse Christianity with Judaism. Today, our study will be in the book of Ephesians. We will be reading verses 1 up to verse 6. Ephesians, let's start with verses 1 and 2. Paul an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is Paul. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He did not set himself as an apostle. He did not choose. He was called by God to be an apostle. We do not choose to become apostles. God is the one that calls us. And the word says then, continues, to the saints. He's writing to the saints. And when the Bible talks of the saints, the Bible doesn't talk about special Christians. Everybody that is in Christ Jesus is a saint. This idea that we have certain individuals being elevated to become saints and then others are just your ordinary people, it's not in the Word. Every born again child of God is a saint because our salvation is based on what Jesus Christ did. So we cannot base people's sanctity on what they have done and say, because this person has done so much, this person has accomplished so much, now then we will call him what, a saint? No. We are saints because of what Jesus Christ did. And this is what Paul says here. Otherwise, if you want to believe that there are some people who are saints and others are not saints, then you and I, who are said not to be saints, this book was not written to us. Then don't read it. Then you fall into their trap. They will cheat you out of what is yours already. Like the book of Colossians tells us. Not to allow anybody to cheat us out of what we have. Through their philosophies and the traditions of men. You are saints. You are saints. He says to the saints who are in Ephesus. And faithful in Christ. Faithful in Christ. And then it continues. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. He's speaking it to them. Grace to you. Peace to you. Now, what should we see? We should understand that grace and peace are received by faith, but they can be increased. How do you increase grace and peace? You increase them as per 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. The word says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So as we get to know God, as we get to know the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace are multiplied to us. So God's gifts are available to everyone, but only those who know and understand them will reap the full effects. So grace and peace will be multiplied to us if we understand the grace that has been given to us, the peace that has been given to us, as we get to understand God Himself. Verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed in the past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, these are not blessings to be sought after, but rather blessings to be discovered and enjoyed. Think about royalty. If you are born into a royal family, you do not seek to become a member of the royal family. If you are born as a prince or a princess in the royal family, you do not seek to become the prince or the princess. But what happens is you discover who you are in the family. That is what you are taught. You are taught who you are. It is not something that you run after, but you are made to discover, I am the heir in this family. And therefore, then you learn about who you are. You learn about the stuff that you have already. So when the Bible talks about, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, it's talking about He accomplished it in the past. So we have to want to discover it. Discover that. Discover the blessings that we have. Discover what He has given to us. That is what we should do. So we are not headed to a victory, but we are coming from a victory that is already accomplished. So we have overcome Satan already. We are not going to overcome Satan. We have been made prosperous already. We are not going to be made prosperous. We are the head already. Why? We are of this royal family. We are royalty. We have to discover who we are. So, and the phrase now, the phrase in heavenly places, that phrase carries the idea of in the spiritual realm. Now, you and I spent 4 weeks talking about we have spiritual reality. So that we understand very well. We have no doubt that there is a spiritual realm that is actually even more powerful than the natural that we have. So when the Bible talks about He has blessed us in the heavenly places, it's talking about in the spiritual realm. All those blessings already exist. Our victories already exist. So our part is to not forget then what God has accomplished for us, like we read last week. James chapter 1 verses 22 to 25, the Bible says we should not be like a man that goes and looks into the mirror and leave and forget how he looks like. We said the Bible says we must not be a forgetful hearer, but we be the one that does the work. So what does it mean then? After looking at the word of God and after we've seen who we are, let us walk like that. Let us keep it in our mind. Let us practice that. Verse 4. Just as He chose, check that word, in the past. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13, it talks about Jesus Christ. It says He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. And then when God did that, before the foundation of the world, He then chose us. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Before God, we are holy and we are without blame. And this was accomplished before the foundation of the world. Remember, we said the blessings of God are for us to discover now. They are not for us to seek after, but they are for us to discover. We are part of this royal family. We are in this family. All these things belong to us. So now we are discovering things that belong to us. And one of them is, we are holy before God. When the Father looks at us, he sees us through Christ. He sees us through the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He sees us holy and perfect before him. It says, we are without blame. Think about that. People can blame us. We can even put blames on ourselves. But God does not blame us. And this was accomplished. It is not going to be accomplished when you decide to confess your sin. This was accomplished before the foundation of the world. Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So in other words, your forgiveness happened before the time. So when you received the Lamb, that's when your forgiveness took place. So when you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just discovered what was already given to you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We are holy and without blame because God sees us through Jesus Christ. So now our blessing, the blessing that we received through Christ, will include that we have had it predetermined that we will be God's children. Where do you find that? It is in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. It was predetermined that we will be God's children. We have been accepted by God. Where do you find that? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. We are redeemed and forgiven. We will not be redeemed and forgiven. We are redeemed and forgiven already. Where do you find that? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. We have all of God's wisdom and prudence inside us. Where do you find that? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 8. The mysteries of God have been revealed to us. The Bible in the Old Covenant, it talks about the mysteries of God. Now the mysteries of God have been revealed to us. Where do you find that? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Bazalani, we are complete in Christ. Amen. We are complete. Complete, 100% complete. Hallelujah. See yourself through the eyes of God. Praise be to God. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption. Think of the word adoption. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. We are the sons of God. God predestined that in Jesus Christ, what would happen is we'd become the sons of God. Now that word, predestination, goes together with foreknowledge. So what it means, God knew your response. And he said, if you respond like this, then you are predestined to receive this. God did not predestine that some people become the children of God and others do not become the children of God. That would mean we have to take away a lot of scriptures in the Bible when the Bible talks about whosoever. Whosoever that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The moment you say that, you are saying, no. It's not that some people are predestined to be judged. No. But this word then goes with foreknowledge. So God knew. He knew that Jesus Christ was going to come and die for us. And then he said, all those who will receive what Christ would do for them. He said, those people will be my sons. That's the predestination that took place.
Amen.
Where do you see this? You see this relationship between predestination and foreknowledge in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." We are conformed to whose image? The image of his son. So before God, we are like his son. We are accepted in Christ. So God foreknew us. So he knew. He knows what will happen tomorrow. So he knew that we would receive Jesus Christ. And therefore he predestined that we be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He's our brother. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So now, through adoption, believers now have had all ties severed from their old master and have now become the property of their heavenly Father as heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So when you get born again, all ties, you know, adoption, when you adopt a child, that child loses and it severs all the ties with their original family. The new family now is what the life of the child will be. So your life with the devil, all your life with the devil, it was severed. That your ties with the devil were severed. So you are no longer related to the devil. You cannot say, "I will receive what belongs to me because I'm a child of the devil." No, you are not. All ties that you had with the devil were severed. So now you are God's property. And property is treated as per the owner's ability. Praise be to God. The Bible talks about us being ambassadors for God. It says we are here on earth being his ambassadors. So you and I should expect to be treated like God would treat his son, Jesus Christ. Because we are the property of God, exactly as Jesus Christ was the property of God when he walked on this earth, and even much more now. So we must expect God to treat us special. We need to expect that special treatment from God. Hallelujah. Now the Lord didn't just save us out of pity or a sense of obligation as a creator, but he saved us because he loved us. Think John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved, not for God so hated, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall be saved. God saved us because he loved us. Verse 6 says, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, the Lord does not just tolerate us, but he actually loves us. He even likes us. He rejoices of us with joy. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Think about this. God sings over you. He loves us. He loves us. Praise be to God. Now, with that understanding, we've now gone through Ephesians 1, chapter 1 to 6. We've come to understand our completeness in Christ. We've come to understand that we actually belong into a family. And what we have to do is to discover who we are. Now, in conclusion, I want to say to us, we are not going to walk in that which God has for us because of works, because of doings. But we will walk in that which God has for us by the hearing of faith. Hearing of faith. Let's look at this example here. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. The word says, by faith. What does that mean? It means not by doing the requirements of the law, not by doing anything to please God, not because he perhaps did certain things. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. His testimony was, he pleased God. How did he please God? Verse 6 tells us. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Enoch had the testimony of pleasing God, not because of what he did. People will tell us that this was a special man of God, and he lived so close with God, so that God had to take him. He could not be separated from him because of how he lived. That's not what these verses are saying. These verses are saying this man had a testimony that he pleased God. Therefore, God took him. But then verse 6 tells us, it says, how did he please God? It says, he pleased him by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's a line. We will please God. We will make him to be able to have us access what he has for us. Not because of doings, but because of the hearing of faith. So if you have ideas of what you have to do for you to please God, so that he can then manifest certain things in your life, I'm telling you, verse 6 here, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You will not please him with your works. So don't try to please him with your actions. The Bible says, continues to say, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you according to the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So this verse says, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what is this seeking that we should do? It is to get to know God. And people have come up with stories to say this seeking of God, it means spending hours upon hours in prayer. If you mean by that spending hours and hours communing with God, when you are reading his word, you're getting to hear him what he says, I agree. But if you mean by that, you trying to inform God what he does not know, trying to impress him by the time that you spend with him, this seeking here, that's not what it means. In closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the word says, we live by faith, not by sight. So, Bazalane, our completeness in Christ, we experience it if we start walking by faith. Praise be to God. Let's thank God for the word. Father, we're so grateful this morning for your word that you shared with us, Father. Thank you, Father God, for opening our minds. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we receive this revelation that you've given to us about our completeness in Jesus Christ. Father, we believe that we are complete in Jesus Christ. And Father, we receive now all that is ours. We thank you, Father God, as we are on this journey of discovering all that you have for us. Father, we thank you that our lives are being transformed. We are being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. To be exactly as the same as the image of Christ. We thank you, Father God, for this journey of discovery. In the name of Jesus Christ, we receive now that your word changes us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the word of God for us today. That is what God wanted to say to us today. And I hope we've heard him. We've heard his word. We are complete in him. God does not look at us through what we do. He looks at us through Jesus Christ. Amen. He sees us exactly the way that he sees Jesus Christ. So let us celebrate that. Let us celebrate it. Let us not strive to be like Jesus Christ. Embrace being like Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.